The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News.
We return now to have a look at what's going on in the UK as the funeral service for Queen Elizabeth II is just about to begin. The eyes of the world focusing on London for this historic event. And her successor, her son, King Charles III, has just arrived in Westminster Abbey along with the rest of the royal family to pay their final public respects. We're going to cross over to London now. Henry McKean is in the vicinity of Westminster Abbey. Henry, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. Yeah, a somber atmosphere here outside Westminster Abbey, and the Queen has started her final journey. She has now gone into Westminster Abbey, and there's sand laid down so the carriage can be easier for, you know, to get over. Also, this funeral has started, and there's hundreds of dignitaries there, including all the former prime ministers, as well as President Biden and the French President Macron, and just hundreds of thousands of people lining the streets of the capital of Britain to watch this funeral unfold. And just a really somber atmosphere. I'm not sure if you can hear the crowds where I'm standing at the moment, but hearing the bagpipes for me, Pat, was just hugely powerful. And just all the pomp, spotting Harry go in, Prince Harry, I should say, as well as Andrew and Princess Anne, and just extremely sad, powerful, but also a joyous occasion because, you know, the Commonwealth are out here. There's Irish people lining the streets as well, and Sinn Féin are inside too. So just so much symbolism and power.
What is the assembled crowd? Because only 2,000 people gained admittance to Westminster Abbey, most of those being either connected to the royals or being overseas dignitaries or domestic politicians. What can the crowd see? I mean, are there big screens? Is there a sound feed available from within the Abbey?
Well, yes, Pat. There's huge screens up across Britain. Cinemas are showing it. Also, hotels are showing it. But Hyde Park have a very big screen. The public, some public can see a lot. Some camped out all night along the Mall, and some are heading up towards Wellington Arch to be able to see the Queen be transferred to a hearse and be brought to Windsor Castle for her final private burial tonight at 7:30. Whereas other you know, people that have come out just to show their respects can't see anything. They have put up barriers on some of the routes, and they've also sterilized the area for security reasons. So not everyone can see. Others are listening on the old-fashioned radio. They're listening online. And others are just here, including kids. I don't know if you can hear them in the background there, just to basically be able to feel that feeling and just be able to be involved, you know. And there's a huge media contingency here. I would say up to 5,000 media, and a lot from home in Ireland too. Despite us being a republic, there is huge interest because of our common history, even if we don't like it, and the fact that a part of Ireland is still part of the United Kingdom. So hugely powerful, and I suppose, Pat, a real privilege to be here. The biggest funeral in the United Kingdom since Winston Churchill, perhaps the biggest funeral in our lifetime since Nelson Mandela passing. So absolutely massive, with a global audience of 4 billion. We think there could be up to 1 million people here on the streets, Pat, all Facebook living. And we know the Queen actually did say she was saddened in recent years because she couldn't see her people's eyes, because when they would meet her, they would stick a phone in her face. So, I mean, that's where we are. I suppose the phone is the new candle. So everyone is holding up their phone to try and get a piece of history. And it's all happening inside now. There was a slight moment earlier where Biden insisted on taking his beast, his large motorcade, and he interrupted a little bit of soldiers marching down so he could get his very large vehicle down. But other than that, it's run extremely smoothly. And this is what Britain are good at. They're good at the NHS, they're good at Premier League, and they're good at pomp. And they're also good at queuing. I met one of the last people in the queue earlier at 6:30. I mean, that queue stretched for 5 miles over 4 full days. people wanted to pay their respects to their queen, and they were from all around the world, Pat. They weren't just British subjects. They were from everywhere, and there was this, I don't know how to describe it, it was almost like a godly-like feeling to be able to meet these people that walked past the coffin lying in state. Just extremely powerful, and again, we know that the Brits loved to queue because there was a big storm over Philip Schofield. Perhaps we don't know for sure, but actually walking past that queue, ITV did issue a statement and said he was working as a member of the press. But the Britons are taking this extremely seriously. But it's also a celebration. Right now, I don't know if you can feel that calm. There is a calm here in London. London has stopped. This world global city has stopped.
All right.
For the Queen. A real calmness.
Henry, thank you. I know you'll be reporting throughout the day from London for a news talk, but for the moment, thank you very much for joining us. Noel Cunningham is a royal commentator, ambassador for Harvey's Point Hotel in Donegal. Noel, good morning.
A very good morning, Pat Kenny, and to your listeners, and what an extraordinary day and what an extraordinary spectacle we're all witnessing.
Noel, how did you become so interested in the royals to the point that people would always refer to you for comment when there was some royal story?
Oh, very simply, I years and years ago, because of charitable involvement in organisations in Britain, I sat on a charity with the late Princess of Wales, Diana. And people had heard or knew about that. And on one occasion, when I was coming back to Ireland, Prince Charles was making one of his very first rare visits to Ireland. And the Joe Duffy Show rang me to comment on it, because, of course, I was interested from the London perspective of an Irishman living in London as to how it would be received. That's how it all began. Don't forget, in my work down the years, I would have had a lot of contact with the palace and the various offices of the various royals, because no more than today, where we see the precision of such an event, the precision involved and around a visit by a senior royal to one of our hotels was as precise, everything, every detail. So there were one or two people who liaised with those offices, and I happened to be one of those in my work. And then, accidentally, I bumped into some of the royals at different events. So that's where it all began. And I suppose at the bottom of that is an abiding respect for the Queen, because I just observed a woman down the years who put her duty to the country very much first. And she consolidated that in my mind when she had the courage to come to Ireland and had the courage, and it took some courage to, you know, go to the Garden of Remembrance, bow to, in respect, to say those few words as Gaelica, to actually incorporate so many Irish emblems into the dress and gowns that she chose for the visit. You know, she really was conciliatory. She said, and her own son, the now King, told me that personally, that it had always been her wish to visit Ireland. And I couldn't help but feel, and the odd time I spoke to her, you know, you have to be respectful, and she leads the conversation. I never did have the opportunity to ask her outright what she thought of us, you know. But somehow or other, I get the distinct impression that she really did want to kind of visit Ireland and somehow or other start a process where people saw that in her sort of person, in her lifetime, that there was regrets about our, she referred to, our shared history.
Yeah, she said in that speech that there are obviously things in our collective history that she wished had been done differently,
indeed,
or indeed not done at all. Anyway,
indeed.
Noel, look, thank you very much for joining us this morning. Noel Cunningham, royal commentator, ambassador for Harvey's Point Hotel in Donegal. Leslie Ann Horgan was writing in Life magazine for the Sunday Independent about a sadness with the passing of Queen Elizabeth II and it being linked in some way to the passage of her own grandmother. Leslie Ann, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. How are you?
So the sadness, it's a strange one that you would feel such a close connection to the Queen.
Yes, certainly. I mean, I was telling somebody earlier that, you know, my friends who have been getting a great kick out of this week saying, oh, you know, are you taking the mourning period off? And they find, because I'm a GAA fan, that it would be unusual that I'd be so interested in the royals. But just as I wouldn't have the kind of connections that Noel had. I'm just an ordinary person. I've never come close to meeting the royals, but my grandmother had an just intense interest in them, and not just the modern royals, going back, as I wrote in the Sunday Independent yesterday, to the Plantagenets, to the Tudors. She could tell you everything about every royal, minor royal, and society figure. And from that, I've just always had an interest in the royals. And as I wrote yesterday, my grandmother passed away during lockdown. We had a funeral for 10 people, and this week has just brought up a lot of those emotions for me. It's been genuinely a sad time. I've been genuinely sad. But as Henry's talking there about the kind of power there that are on the streets in London, about that people stopping and people coming together. And I think that's, for me, what has been so amazing to see, is to see the pomp and ceremony and to see death marked in that way. Because for a lot of people like ourselves during COVID and over the past 2 years, you know, my grandmother didn't pass away from COVID, but she died during that period. And we were so restricted in what we could do and how we could celebrate her and her life. And so that's where this outpouring of emotion has come from. And as people say, it can be unexpected for, you know, that people who are here in Ireland would feel that way. But actually, a lot of people have gotten in touch with me yesterday, since the piece came out, who are also bereaved in the last, you know, year or 2 years, and said that they feel the same, that the emotion has come to the surface this week.
Yeah. I mean, watching some of the footage of the Queen herself during that COVID period, when she lost her husband, the Duke of Edinburgh, and she chose, and this was the imagery I'm sure she had total control over, that she would mourn alone during the service. She was not surrounded by her children. She was a woman alone during the service, and she was making the point, and probably very deliberately, that she too was like others who were bereaved during COVID, and that she understood that they had to mourn alone without the comfort of family around them.
Absolutely. That was such a powerful image, certainly for me at the time. And I think, as Noel has said there, about, you know, the courage of her coming to the Garden of Remembrance. But I think one of the things that can't be underestimated from that visit for us was the humanising of her. I remember so many people kind of saying, oh my God, for a woman that age, hasn't she been standing for a few days? Hasn't she been, you know, she's great for her age. We saw her more as that sort of human figure than the monarch, as it was. And then, yeah, with Prince Philip's funeral, to see her standing apart and alone, unsupported, as so many of us had to do, it was heartbreaking and very humanising.
Can you kind of separate in your own head the suggestion that you might be a royalist, you know, a loving of the monarchy, versus someone who admired the person that was Queen Elizabeth II?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's very hard to explain, because, as I say, I'm not interested in the monarchy in that way. I think, as an institution, and as we've referenced already, you know, that collective history, that shared history that we have, we can't say this is a historic day. There are 500 world leaders. When do we have that kind of coming together? So it is massively important. But yeah, to just see ultimately at the end, this is a mother, a grandmother, a great-grandmother, and on top of her funeral, or on top of her coffin this morning, there's a wreath of flowers that were taken from the gardens of her homes, and it's, you know, lovely bright pinks and greens that were apparently chosen by King Charles, but they just reflect that she always wore great colour. And I think it's those little personal touches to see there's so many children at the ceremony, because she's ultimately a family woman. And yeah, I find that I can separate out into being, you know, just a woman and a mother and a family person, as well as being a monarch, which I would not be as supportive of.
All right. Leslie Ann, thank you very much for joining us. Leslie Ann Horgan, Life magazine editor with the Sunday Independent.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.